From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Aggressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show. We are show 154, and sitting across from me in my studio is my William, good friend, William. Randall Berger.
Oh,
Randy.
Oh, thank you, Billy. Thank you.
How was your week?
I've got my little... It's been good. Actually, my week has been good. But you know, Willie... Yeah. We shouldn't. I mean, I know it's the power of radio. It's the theater of the mind. But let's not bullshit people. We're at least 150 kilometers apart.
Yes, we are.
And we actually haven't been in the same studio for dozens of shows.
Forever. Well, it was a long time ago. And then we discovered iTunes, didn't we?
Well, it's not just iTunes. It's just, you know, we both record our own half of the show. And then I convert it and email it to you or put it in the Dropbox.
It's incredible.
It is. It's incredible. It's great. But the point is, it saves a fortune in petrol. And it
sure does.
Wear and tear on my little chariot.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And it also means that, you know, we don't actually have to occupy the same space.
But, you know, Willie, I miss you.
Because I'm wearing really dirty clothes. Sometimes I wear women's clothing. So it would make you uncomfortable.
Well, sometimes my wife wears my clothing, but that doesn't make it, I mean...
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. That's enough. Yeah. Actually, we do the show, and I don't know this guy at all.
Just anybody who randomly calls up.
Just
and
some
says,
guy up the street. You want to talk politics for an hour? Come on, people,
yeah,
listen.
Yeah, why not? Okay, Willie.
Hey, Randy.
Yeah.
Why? Last week, we were kind of sitting there going, oh, no, there's nothing else that... Donald Trump can't say.
Yeah, he's this guy. He's gone as far as he could go.
He's nuts.
He's gone about as far as he can go.
No. Yeah. And there are 87 days left. 87 days left.
That's
from this
right.
Recording. He's got 87 more days. I don't know how he keeps topping himself. He's in incredible state.
But not in the suicide sense. Which
I think that's the grand exit.
Yeah.
Because I think when Looney Pants finally realizes that he's not going to have a business anymore, he's not going to have a dime anymore, because no one's going to, you know, but I did hear somebody say today that the whole thing is just to put up so he can start the Trump channel with his Looney Bird, followers.
No, you know. The Trump channel, on television or something?
Yeah. I heard that the other day on there's a show here in Australia called Planet America.
They do a
really good thing, and they interviewed this guy, and I didn't know that I was going to quote him because I'm just thinking of it. Who said, No, you got to understand something. He knows he's not going to win now. Now it's just solidifying his support, so when he loses terribly, he can say it's rigged and start a cult.
Yeah.
Start a Fox News channel, a Trump channel.
Oh, just like Sarah Palin television.
Yeah, that's it. You know, Palin tries
which is
to
so
do
far
it, but,
down the toilet.
You know,
she's in the apartment.
Who wants to look at that every day? Jesus Christ. But the way he's got these Trump people. Anyway, we should go drive right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our intro for our favorite psychopath that's running for president.
It is.
Psycho Trump.
Now it's time for the next episode of Psycho Trump.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Yes, it's the ongoing episode of Psycho Trump, Randy.
I love a good Bernard Herrmann opening, you know?
I know.
What an amazing composer.
Yeah, I know, he was. It's fantastic. I've been a turn Bernard.
Do you know a little bit of trivia? You know, He recorded the last session of his last score for Taxi Driver and went home and died.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean,
okay.
Talk about timing. Talk about timing, yeah. Yeah, don't want to leave any unfinished business. Anyway, that's just a...
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Little movie trivia. Anyway, let's do the opening. Evidently, last week we found out that Obama started ISIS, and the election is... Let me get through it.
Yeah.
Evidently, Obama started ISIS, and the election is going to be rigged. Probably the most amazing thing Trump said last week is when he put out a contract on Hillary Clinton. Oh, my God. Here's Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks, who had probably the perfect reaction to this week's craziest moment. Here it is, Randy.
Today, Donald Trump, speaking at a rally, said something so outrageous, it even shocked me. So how's that possible? Well, I know Donald Trump. I know all the insane things he said, all the hateful things he said. How could he go over the top, even for himself? Well, you're about to see he's first talking about Hillary Clinton's judges, and then listen to what he says at the end.
If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what.
What on God's green earth? Are you kidding me? Now he's talking about perhaps political assassination of his opponent. Maybe the Second Amendment people can do something about it. That's not that veiled. That's not a dog whistle. That's a human whistle. We all just heard it. That's unbelievable. No, they got to get him out of the race. I'm serious. Before, he's outrageous. Yes, he's a populist. Hey, look, the Republicans picked him. Everybody, Republicans say, no, that's not our party. No, it is your party. They selected him. Your voters. Not our voters. Your voters selected him. Not the independents. Not the Democrats. You guys did. This is your monster. You created him. You got to get him out of the race. We can't have a guy running for president of the United States who acts like a tin pot dictator.
I think that Cenk is right.
Not a tin pot dictator. He's a solid gold plated dictator.
I got to say that I'm using Cenk's piece. And by the way, we love the Young Turks. Young Turks, go and sign up. Become a member of the Young Turks.
The TYT channel is really taking off. But
fantastic. Getting off the subject.
No, I don't want to get off the subject. But let me just remind you, because we played this clip here, that Hillary Clinton said something similar in 2008.
No, the thing that Hillary Clinton said was, I think, over the line. And she just mentioned the historical fact that Robert Kennedy being assassinated in California. He didn't sit there and kind of amusingly, wistfully kind of say that if she becomes president and selects judges you don't like, maybe the guys with the guns can do something about it. I mean, that is the most absolutely fucking unbelievable thing I have ever heard. I mean, it really is. It's just insane. He's literally engaging some of the Fruit Loops that work for him to go off and consider assassination. I mean, Christ! I was blown away.
Well, he
by
didn't
it.
Come out and say go shoot her. He just said the Second Amendment people can do something about it. Meaning, I think they're going to have to get their act together and vote.
That's not what he meant. Mm. The Second Amendment refers to guns.
Yes, I understand
the gun
that.
People can do something about it. I wonder what he meant. Did he mean that maybe the guys with the guns could use them? Yeah, that's what he meant. And that's why people laughed. I'm sorry.
It was North Carolina. It was North Carolina, so.
Yeah, and by the way, the crowd loved it.
Of course they did.
And that was another thing. He said, oh, God, isn't it funny? Oh, yeah, political assassination. Yeah. You know, it's like, man, you and I remember political assassinations.
Oh, yeah, 1968. You know, we had George Wallace. We had Martin Luther King. We had Bobby Kennedy.
We had Bobby, and we ended up, because Bobby got killed, we ended up with fucking Nixon.
We ended up with Hubert Humphrey. Running against Nixon.
Bobby would have kicked Nixon's ass.
I know, but that's the point.
So he, because of an assassin's bullet, we ended up with Richard Milhouse Nixon and the birth of the new Republican Party. That's the this is the end result of what Nixon started right now. And anyway, I could not believe what they were saying. Evidently, there was also a article in the New York Times. Evidently, by the way, my favorite word. Evidently, after this, Trump went into a fit that the media was just overreacting, even though he did, you know, kind of wistfully say, "Hey, why don't you kill her?" And so the media was overreacting. And then the New York Times came out with an absolutely incredible article about what's been happening inside the Trump universe. And I'm going to quote it. Advisors who once hoped the Pygmalion-like transformation would refashion a crudely effective political showman into a plausible American president. Well, I don't know why they thought that. Now increasingly concede that Mr. Trump is beyond coaching. You think?
By Jove, I think he's not got it.
He has ignored pleas and counsel as his poll numbers have dropped, boasting to friends about the size of his crowds.
Yeah.
And the size of his dick. And maintaining that he can reach...
He's still on about that.
Yeah, I know. He's still on about that. But the, you know, the thing is, he's maintaining that he can read surveys better than professionals.
Yeah. I'm the smartest guy around. Melania's smart, too. We're the two smartest people I know.
Oh, man. I tell you, man, he's crazy.
Did you hear about the new Trump sandwich?
What is
it? It's white bread, full of bologna, with Russian dressing and a small pickle.
Yeah, a lot of Russian dressing. We're going to get to that in a minute. Let me go on with the article. In private, Mr. Trump's mood is sullen and erratic.
No.
His associates say, yeah, I think he's doing the Glenn Close thing in the corner of the airplane, like, you know, the Fatal Attraction thing where he just turns the light on and off.
Is he about to cook the rabbit, is he? Yeah.
I think Paul Manafort better look for the bunny in his pot when he gets home. This startled me here when I was reading the article. He veers from barking at members of his staff to grumbling about how he was better off following his own instincts during the primaries and suggesting he should have not heeded their calls to change. He broods about his souring relationship with the news media, with Paul Manafort, who has his own problems now, and occasionally Mr. Stubb blows off steam in bursts of boyish exuberance. At the end of a fundraiser on Long Island last week, he playfully buzzed the crowd twice in his helicopter. While Paul Manafort was privately hoping for the Buddy Holly story.
Now you're insinuating you hope that his jet crashes?
I'm saying that Paul Manafort is probably sitting there going...
But see how easy it is?
No, I did not incite assassination. That's completely different. Completely different. He is routinely preoccupied by perceived slights, for example, raging to his aides after Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, a.k.a. the water boy, in his reelection announcement said he would stand up to the next president regardless of party. In a visit to Capitol Hill in early July, Mr. Trump bickered with two Republican senators who had not endorsed him. He needled Representative Peter T. King of New York for having taken donations from him over the years, only to criticize him on television now. And Trump has begun to acknowledge to associates that even in public, that he might lose. In an interview on CNBC, he said he was prepared for defeat. Well, that's nice, Donald. and said that it would be all right for him because he'd take a long vacation.
Yeah, I'll just go back to business. Yeah, I'll go back to work.
Yeah, I got numbers.
I got numbers. I got a small pickle. Yeah.
I got numbers. Well, in case you didn't know that things couldn't get worse. For the Oh, yeah. Paul Manafort, the sleazy reptile that runs runs Trump's campaign. Yeah. As you know, Paul has been kind of, we did a thing on him not too long ago where he was the guy who represented Philippine dictator Ferdinand Marcos. Yeah. But he's also been doing a lot of work in the Ukraine and for Vladimir Putin's guys.
And getting paid in cash, too, yeah.
And getting paid in cash. This is off the New York Times again, which is obviously... Trump says he's going to ban the New York Times from his rallies. Say good luck on that. Okay, on a leaf... This is the report today.
How do you ban anything from anything these days with everything online? I mean...
I have no idea. I think Donald Trump and the Trump campaign, I think of them now as kind of like... you know, a meth addict at a cocktail party. It's really mad. On the leaf, I'm going to read the article here. On a leafy side of the street off Independence Square in Kiev is an office used for years by Donald J. Trump's campaign chairman, Paul Manafort. When he consulted for Ukraine's ruling political party, his furniture and personal items are still there and have been since May. And Mr. Manafort's presence remains elsewhere here in this capital, where government investigators examining secret records have found his name, as well as companies he sought to do business with as they try to untangle a corrupt network they say was used to loot Ukrainian assets and influence elections during the administration of Mr. Manafort's main client, President Viktor Yanukovych. Yeah. Handwritten ledgers show $12.7 million in undisclosed cash payments designated for Paul Manafort from Yanukovych's pro-Russian political party between 2007 and 2012. You know where you could, Yanukovych, he's Putin's guy. He was Putin's guy in the Ukraine. So $12.7 million. He received from Putin's guy in the Ukraine.
That's right.
That is about as close as being on the Russian payroll as you fucking get.
Well, so, hopefully it was in U.S. dollars and not in rubles.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in addition to criminal prosecutors, are investigating a group of offshore shell companies that helped members of Mr. Yanukovych's inner circle finance their lavish lifestyles, including a palatial presidential residence with a private zoo, golf course, and tennis court. Among the hundreds of murky transactions these companies engaged in was an $18 million deal to sell Ukrainian cable television assets. Good morning, Ukraine!
You're a very ugly man, Gus. Smetta!
Welcome
Smetta.
To the...
Smetta! I love you, Smetta!
Welcome to the Price is Right! Ukrainian cable television assets to a partnership put together by... No, wait for it.
Manafort.
Paul Manafort. Oh.
You're sure they got
and Oleg,
you sure they didn't get his name
Oleg
mixed up?
Yeah, no, it's Paul Manafort and the Russian oligarch Oleg Deripaska. Oleg. He's a close ally and friend of Vladimir Putin.
Ladies and gentlemen. And what is it? Is it Trump's daughter Ivanka is off with Putin's girlfriend?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, besties. They're besties.
They're besties, man.
Yeah,
they're besties.
Yeah. BFF, yeah.
So, listen, I've come to the conclusion that Trump's candidacy is Vladimir Putin having a practical joke.
Well, you know what? This does, the wonderful play Inherit the Wind about the Scopes Monkey trial in the 20s. About teaching evolution. And supposedly it was Clarence Darrow against William Jennings Bryan, who was a real political figure in those days, a very conservative guy. Do you know that he actually ran for president and the thing imploded? And I keep thinking, this is a lot like that, you know? You get somebody who's well-known for something and then they decide, oh, I'm well-known for something, I'm going to run for president. And then they just turned to shit.
Did that happen? I'm going to have to look that. Clarence Darrow ran for president.
No, William Jennings Bryan.
No, William Jennings Bryan. Yeah. Oh, William Jennings Bryan. Yeah. Yeah, I know that he ran for president,
and,
actually.
After the monkey trial, which was totally humiliating for him, because, you know, it came down in the end that they decided that teaching of evolution was not against the law. But,
That's still under adjudication in Mississippi.
No, and Texas, you know, your friend in Texas, too.
I don't think I came from apes. Hey, listen, I got to get to the last kind of story
here. Let's get to the last story. Go on.
This is not fun. This is actually really fucking scary. There has been allegations. First of all, this is from Lisa Bloom, who's an NBC legal analyst, who wrote in the Huffington Post. And I'm just going to read it here. An anonymous Jane Doe has filed
that's
federal
an oxymoron
lawsuit
because Jane Doe is anonymous anyway.
Yeah. An anonymous Jane Doe filed a federal lawsuit against GOP presumptive nominee Donald Trump last week, accusing him of raping her in 1994 when she was 13 years old. The mainstream media ignored the filing. In covering a story, a media outlet is not finding guilt. It is simply reporting the news that a lawsuit has been filed against Mr. Trump, and ideally putting the complainant in context. Unproven allegations are just that. They're unproven and should be identified that
way. Mr.
Trump's
lawyers picked it up?
No one has. Yeah. Mr. Trump's lawyer says the charges are categorically untrue, completely fabricated and politically motivated. Proof comes later at trial, but the November election will come after, before any trial is going to happen. And while Mr. Trump is presumed innocent, we are permitted, no, she says, we are obligated to analyze the case's viability now. And she goes on to say, why should we be looking at this for real? This is not the first time in which Donald Trump has been put, you know, has basically had been accused of rape. It is not the first time that he has been done that. We're also looking at a guy who likes to call women's, you know, he likes to relishes calling women dogs and slobs, and he also talks about, and this is a quote, this is something he said, women, you have to treat them like shit. Now,
that's right.
Trump has two.
That's right. I remember that.
Trump has two prior sexual assault court claims that have been made against Mr. Trump. Under oath, Ivana Trump accused Mr. Trump of a violent rape. First was Ivana Trump, Donald Trump's first wife, who said under oath in 1989 deposition that he had violently attacked her, ripped out her hair, and forcibly penetrated her without her consent. According to the Daily Beast, she claims he was wildly angry that she'd referred him to a cosmetic surgeon who had botched a scalp reduction job to cover a bald spot. Temper, Donald. The second woman accused Donald Trump of sexual assault in 1997. Yeah, I know. I'm trying not to make a joke of this because this is really sick. According to the Guardian, then 34-year-old Jill Harth alleged in a federal lawsuit that Trump violated her physical and mental integrity when he touched her intimately without her consent after her husband went into business with them. Now, I happen to have a report that just came out the other day. This is a woman who really has nothing to gain by this. And she's coming out right now and with her name. Yeah. She's not a Jane Doe. And this is what she said. Here, have a listen to this.
I know that I'm going to have backlash, but at this point, bring it on. I've been through enough. I'm a lot stronger now than I was 20 years ago.
For the first time, Jill Harth is speaking out about the sexual assault lawsuit she filed against Donald Trump in 1997.
He was showing me this big mural, and then the next thing I know, he was pushing me up against the wall, and making a move on me and was all over me. And again, I was taken back. I was shocked that he was doing this. I'm like, what are you doing? There were people around and like, what are you acting like this for? It was really unsettling. I was nervous and I couldn't understand what he was, why he was doing this with me. I had to push him off of me.
So there was no ambiguity that these were unwanted sexual advances?
Absolutely. On my part, you know, in his brain, he thinks everybody wants them.
Right, but putting aside what he thought, but in terms of the way you reacted, in terms of what you did, you made it very clear that these were unwanted?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When somebody says stop it, stop it.
Now, Harth has retained high-powered attorney Lisa Bloom.
All legal options remain open.
Harth says she met Trump in 1992 when she was in the beauty pageant business.
That the main reason Donald went into this was to get into my pants and to have the girls as his playground.
She and her then-husband, George Harraney, eventually sued Trump for breach of contract. And it was during that case, she says, that a comment from Trump put her over the edge.
We were in the same elevator going up to the room with the deposition, and he said to his lawyer, see, I told you she was a great piece of ass, meaning he had already gotten me. And that just set me off to no end. After that, I was ready to go with the harassment.
She then filed her own case against him. In your lawsuit, and I'm gonna read from it here. This is the one filed in 97. You say the defendant Trump, over the plaintiff's objections, forcibly prevented plaintiff from leaving and forcibly removed plaintiff to a bedroom, whereupon plaintiff Trump subjected plaintiff to defendant's unwanted sexual advances, which included touching of plaintiff's private parts in an act constituting attempted rape. Tell me about that incident, when that happened, and what happened.
That one that you are referring to happened in March of 93. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think maybe it was we were trying to press him to sign something or to okay budget or to guarantee things. And he wanted me there in person. And He kept on saying, come on, let's lay down, just make yourself comfortable. Come on, we'll talk on the bed. And I'm like, I'm not talking on the bed. And he just was very aggressive with me. It's what I can say. He was always trying to grope me and touch me. And I had to tell him to stop. I would say, I didn't come here for this. I came here to discuss the business. And what are you doing?
Why do I believe this?
Well,
because why not? We've been watching this guy's personality for so long, Randy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's an infant.
Three wives. The last one's kind of past her use by date. He usually gets rid of them every 10 years.
He's trading in a car. Yeah,
it's like trading in a car. Four bankruptcies. You know, he doesn't know what he wants to do, casinos, hotels, whatever.
I think
the guy's just a douchebag, and he...
Well, he's worse than that. He's a sleazebag, because this
he's
is the
bag.
Actual...
He's just a bag, yeah.
No, but I mean, he is a monster. I'm just looking at this guy, and I'm going, this guy's a real psychopath. The one that sealed it for me is the Jane Doe child rape claim against Trump. His history of who, you know, I mean, this goes now, this Tiffany Doe had signed this. She was being recruited by Jeffrey Epstein, who was billionaire.
The same guy that,
the third, I'm just reading from this article here. The third woman accused Mr. Trump of rape recently. This woman, and she said that she had been hired to go to Jeffrey Epstein's place, and she was recruited at the Port Authority bus terminal. The woman claims to have a witness named Tiffany Doe, one of the other people who worked for Epstein.
Yeah.
And
This is the 13-year-old.
This is actually the 13-year-old is the Jane Doe, the Tiffany Doe. These are two people who are scared for their lives.
Yeah, of course.
And they have said, now Jane Doe says that Mr. Trump initiated sexual contact with her on four occasions in 1994. Since she was 13 at the time, consent is not an issue.
Yeah, of course.
So we're talking rape. Yeah. We're talking rape. On the fourth incident, she said, Mr. Trump tied her to a bed and forcibly raped her in a savage sexual attack while she pleaded with him to stop. She says Mr. Trump violently struck her in the face. She says that afterwards, she was told if she ever revealed what he had done, Mr. Trump threatened that she and her family would be physically harmed, if not killed. She says she's been in fear of him forever.
Well, at least over 20 years now, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is rather interesting because when Epstein was actually interrogated after he was booked for being a child molester, he was specifically asked during his deposition whether he had ever been with Trump in the company of women. And he didn't say yes or no. He pled the Fifth Amendment.
Really?
So yes. So I'm not saying that, you know, by the way, this Trump is innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at in the light of all the other things that have seemed to be have happened with this guy.
Trump, the Trump history, and Epstein, yes.
Yes. And defendant, let's see. Defendant Epstein then attempted to strike me. Okay. This is two unusual documents were attached to Jane Doe's complaints. Sworn declarations attesting to the facts. The first is from Jane Doe herself telling her horrific story, including the allegation that Jeffrey Epstein also raped her and threatened her into silence.
Yeah.
Defendant Epstein then attempted to strike me about the head with his closed fist while he angrily screamed at me, he, Defendant Epstein, should have been the one to take her virginity, not Defendant Trump. And this one. Defendant Trump stated that I shouldn't ever say anything if I didn't want to disappear, like Maria, a 12-year-old female that was forced to be involved in the third incident with the Defendant Trump that he's being accused of, and that I have not seen since that third incident that he was capable of having my whole family killed. But by two people. Now, why do we take this seriously? A, he has a history of doing this. He has a history of being accused of roughing up women. And people who are willing to go on the record to do it. After this Roger Ailes thing, you know, quite frankly. And second, look at the guy. Just look at the guy. He's a narcissistic sociopath. He is a narcissist. He's absolutely, and this whole idea of being, he literally faked his own voice to brag to a New York Daily News reporter in, I think it was the late 80s or early 90s.
When he bragged that he was his own PR person.
That women loved him and everything like that. He made pretend he was his own ad guy to get on with a New York Daily News, I think, reporter. And brag about how many women love him. So I'm just kind of stunned. I'm stunned by the whole thing.
It's very smutty. I think we're going to have to put a rating or a warning on this, more than our normal explicit warning.
Well, I think
naughty words.
Really, I think this deserves a little bit more of a look-see by the general media, because if it's true, this guy's a monster. And
before he gets into office,
well, he's not going to get into office. But you know, I mean, my whole take on this is that I really do. I think that that Trump knows he's going to lose now, and I think that he's I think that he's in completely over his head, and I think that. That this is going to, unless the emails come through, and we've had emails come out since this started happening, Yeah. And no one's paying attention because Gasbag Boy opens his mouth every 5 seconds. You know, I mean, he literally lets loose one of these farts every 5 seconds. And no matter how the, you know, the Russophile Paul Manafort can, how whatever he does doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't seem to matter at all. What's your take on it?
Well, is it denial or is that just a river in Egypt? I don't know.
That's denial.
I just need some comic relief. That was sick. That was smudgy.
I know it's sick and sick. Yeah. And why do I not doubt it? You know, I just don't. You know, it's like one of those things where I can't prove it, but I kind of know it might be true. And
well, I mean, this Epstein guy. I mean, how many people have been tarred with that brush? Prince Andrew. Saxa Coburg Goethe. He's touched everybody. He was like the pimp of rich people.
I mean, the go-to guy if you wanted to, you know, molest a child. And, you know, I mean, this is a guy who publicly sits there and says, you know, hey, listen, my daughter, you know, I would have loved to have dated her.
Yeah, if my daughter was not my daughter, I'd sure love to bang her.
I didn't say bang her, but it was definitely, you know, in
dater. Sorry,
yeah, dater. You know, dater. Yeah. Sleazebag Trump, ladies and gentlemen, that's the candidate that the Republicans have put forward. That's your Republican Party. That's who they are. That's it. Listen, I've troughed through this non-humor. You put these humorous noises in. It doesn't make it funny. There's no light relief that's going to cover this. You know,
there's none. Bring us back to sanity.
We'll bring us back to a little bit of light relief, and we can do
There's a sanity clause.
There's a sanity clause. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to put on my smile and try to take a shower, and we're going to go to a break, and then
a comedy. Break,
we're going to have a comedy break because I need to take a shower, man. This just. Amazing. We'll be back after this message.
Educate, syncopate, radio communicate, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
A beautiful team of diverse young women can inspire a planet's. Nations that previously feuded can find common ground. Oh, and Donald Trump. There is always something about Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is dealing with a fallout over what many perceived as a threat of violence against Hillary Clinton.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges... Nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But
holy no matter how many times I watch that, I still can't believe it. Donald Trump suggested that people with guns do something about Hillary. A statement that has baffled the entire country, especially the Secret Service, who must be thinking to themselves, are you me right now? Yeah, because think about it. This is the first presidential campaign in history where the Secret Service has had to protect candidates from each other. Think about it. Like, it's this Hillary comment, and earlier on, it was the time when Jeb needed wedgie protection from Trump. This is one campaign. And this is so serious that even Trump supporters couldn't believe what they were hearing. Like, look at the man in the red shirt behind Trump. Look at his face. Yeah. You see that face? That's the old white guy equivalent of, oh, no, he didn't. That man is shocked. Trump supporters are shocked. Do you know how hard it is to shock a Trump supporter? These are the same people who've heard their candidate say, bing, bing, bong, bong, and thought to themselves, that's what we need in the White House. They are shocked. And now after that speech, Donald Trump said that everyone in the room understood what he meant. The only problem is... he's not running for president of that room. And so everyone outside of the room is trying to figure out what the hell he meant.
misunderstood, or out of line.
It's very clear what Donald Trump was implying, wreak violence against Hillary Clinton.
He didn't call for Hillary Clinton to be assassinated.
Maybe trying to make a joke.
It's not a joke.
You're not going to use the joke defense.
It's fairly clear.
I'm not confused.
He wasn't talking about implementation of policy. He was talking about what would happen if Hillary Clinton were to be elected, and he was absolutely right.
I'm speechless because I'm trying to follow your logic here, Katrina, and I'm having a hard time.
Well, you see, that's your first mistake, trying to combine logic with the Trump campaign. Yeah, you know who doesn't do that? Donald Trump. He just rides the wave of crazy and sees where it takes him. Mexicans did the moon. What does that even mean? I don't know, it just felt right.
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Yes, Randy, it's your rant time.
Oh, I love that intro music. You know, I sort of think I'm one of the Blobbingdales, you know. I'm bumping and grinding away and, you know, okay. I'm too sexy for my shirt kind of dance.
You are. You are too sexy for that shirt.
Well, I'm too sexy for this and several shirts, but anyway.
You're too sexy for those pants.
What pants? I never wear pants when I record this.
Welcome to the Bill Show. We're not wearing pants.
Oh, dear. Thank you, Willie. God. Oh, listen, okay. I've decided for my rant, I'm continuing with a theme.
Go ahead.
A theme here. Everybody, especially that last quote about people thinking that Donald Trump was misquoted. Yeah. And there are people who believe he was misquoted or misinterpreted.
Hmm.
He was saying, well, you know, she appoints judges. He did go on to say, you know, Scalia was supposed to be there for another 10 years and we wouldn't have had this problem and all that sort of stuff. I've decided that I'm going to talk about misquoting or misinterpreting Donald Trump. And
you actually think that was misinterpreted?
I think he was trying to make a joke. I don't think he was saying any more than Hillary was saying in 2008. I'm sticking around in case somebody takes a shot at Obama.
I'll play you the thing in 2008. I'll play it because we played it on the show.
I know. We played it before, but I'm just saying it can be.
All right, go ahead. I disagree with you totally, but go ahead.
Then that's what we're. It's healthy. It's healthy disagreement.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that when you listen to it, it was a stupid thing to say. He's a stupid man.
You think?
He says stupid things. I don't think he was saying, go out and shoot my opponent.
No, which is worse, that he's making a joke about it.
Yeah,
I mean, for God's sake, Hillary. Look at JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X,
George Wallace
took a shot at Ronald Reagan. Two shots at Gerald Ford. I mean, this is something that happens in America that changes history, and you got a fucking load of absolute beanheads who fucking love their AR-15s.
Yeah.
It is irresponsible, totally irresponsible, but go ahead.
Yes, it is. I want to play you a clip of Donald Trump and some of his people that let's just say supporting him, or again, the claim of misinterpretation. And I think he also just has real difficulty reading the digiprompt, quite frankly. I think he does. He looks back and forth. He looks back and forth. But I don't think he sees
his
the
mental
words.
His mental retardation is a eyesight issue, is it?
As all the other things. Play my lovely compile I've put together of Donald Trump being misinterpreted.
Okay, evidently we didn't hear what we heard. So let's have a listen to Donald Trump misinterpreted.
I sympathize with Donald Trump. I had a group called Media Matters. I had another group called People for the American Way. They taped every single word that I said, and I did about 10,000 broadcasts. I did that many ad-libs, and every time they would take my words and transpose, they would take connectors out, and then they would put it out. And there was somebody in the AP who was one of their clones, and they picked up, and across the country would come these idiotic statements. The same thing's being done to Trump.
Take your statement out of context.
Out of context, twist it around, and then throw it out, Robertson just said. And around the world, it was. So they're doing it to Trump now. There's a whole team of people just looking for every word he speaks to make him look silly. What he said yesterday, I think, or the day before, whatever, the Second Amendment crowd will come, you know, and give me a hand. And what he's talking about are those who are concerned about gun control, and what he's saying, a new Supreme Court judge. It's been a virtually a tie on it. And the next time they put a liberal judge on, they'll be reversing the Second Amendment.
That's absolutely, Randy, I got to take issue with that. That's absolutely wrong.
Well, I know, but see, that's what the other side are saying. They're defending him. They're saying he was misinterpreted.
But the point is that he said, suppose we elect Hillary president. So it's not an election anymore. She's president. And she appoints three judges.
Yeah.
Then he says, maybe Second Amendment people can help you out with that. Inferring that people with guns might be able to help out with that. The joke was very, very, you know, I mean, the reason he got a laugh is because he playfully suggested that guys with Second Amendment rights should, you know, assassinate a sitting president. Okay.
But the point is that there are people that go around and find every little thing that Donald Trump says and cut it together. There are people that go around and find every little thing that Pat Robertson says.
Really?
And cut it together. Let's have a little listen to that.
Oh, is there something? Okay, all right. Here's Pat Robertson, actually, with every little thing cut out of him, because you brought a bit of that, too. So here it is.
Donald Trump is encouraging people to shoot Hillary. I mean, it's just nonsense.
Oh.
What's so terrible about having sex with animals? Dogs, we can have sex with them. You like anal sex. You like bestiality. I want to perform sexual acts together. Please participate in my ungodly lifestyle.
And, by the way, into cities like right here in Detroit. And, by the way, into cities like right here in Detroit. Titties.
Yeah, you really are juvenile. You know that? You really are.
Titties.
I know. I've still got him saying titties in the background here. It's on a loop.
It goes on for a minute. Yeah.
Donald, shut up. Donald, someone hit him.
You're gonna make me wet myself. Stop it.
Wait a minute. Donald, stop.
Look, it happened about 4 or 5 days ago. He misread his digiprompt, his teleprompter, and he said titties instead of cities. And there was no response from the audience.
Yeah.
The media held their breath and thought, "What the fuck was that?" And then, it just came out that, I mean, it was just all part of it being an idiot.
Well, now, you know, I got to think that Trump is the only candidate that if he said something by mistake, there's an even money chance that it sounds more sane than what he says on purpose.
We bring it to titties right here in Detroit.
I'd rather have someone screaming titties than someone trying to, you know, get people to kill the sitting president of the United States. Which is what Trump
did. A storm in a D-cup. Yeah, that's
a storm in a teacup. He's crazy.
No, a storm in a D-cup.
You are 12. my partner here is 12 years old. I want you to know that. You know that new Netflix thing? You remember the Netflix thing that's on now, Stranger Things? Have you seen it? By the way, see it. It's great.
Yeah.
You know the little kid with a speech defect? That's who I'm talking to.
without his teeth, that's me. But you know, that was just Goonies. He's like Chunks.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's true.
I was Chunks.
By the way, can I just put forward, if you haven't seen that show, see it, you'll love it. Okay? Stranger Things on Netflix.
Stranger Things on Netflix, 8 episodes, 8 hours.
Yeah, if you want to.
And I binged it. My daughter binged it. Everybody I've talked
absolutely.
To watched one episode and couldn't
you just
stop.
Can't.
And they had to watch all
you
eight.
Just can't.
Yeah.
And this is completely non-political, but believe me, after the depressing shit that we've been talking about on this show, you're going to want to escape really bad. So.
And it's set in the early 80s, so it's like.
It's real nostalgia, isn't it?
Yeah, it is,
Winona
totally.
Ryder, who I've always loved. I like me.
She's got one setting in this, and that's
yeah. I like me some Winona.
Nuts,
you know, I love it.
Nuts, yeah.
Anyway, listen. You also have something else.
I also have. My regular segment now, which is the religious extremist of the week.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I know you like this because this one isn't a raging and ranting. American evangelical. This is a Swedish group.
Yeah.
A Swedish group, an evangelical church in Sweden.
Right.
Called Livsstord, which is means like, life's work,
sure
word of life.
Yeah.
Now, they've decided, this group, that they are going to use military drones to drop tiny electronic Bibles on ISIS.
What?
They are the Word of Life Church in Sweden.
Yeah.
In northern Sweden, where the sun never shines, I don't think. They're going to use military drones at high altitude, delivering thousands of small little e-Bibles about the size of a pillbox with a little digital display and different languages and all that sort of stuff. Now, they've thought this through. You know, it's our project. We hope to drop thousands of Bibles. But, you know.
Not food or anything. Yeah, that would be bad.
No, not food. No, I don't want to feed you. And haven't helped you if you get hit on the head with one of these things from
don't
high
eat
altitude.
Your e-Bible. Don't do that.
Yeah. And don't, if it's falling at a great rate, it might hit you in the head. But knowing ISIS and IS and all those people.
Yeah.
In North Korea, where another group did something similar about 20 years ago, anybody caught with a Bible was summarily executed.
Does that mean they'll have to kill themselves?
Well, no.
I have a Bible. I must kill myself.
Yeah, if ISIS... No, they were taken out and shot by the North Korean police if they were caught with a Bible. So I'm just wondering if ISIS, ISIL, Dinesh, whatever they want to call themselves... If they catch people with these little e-Bibles, I reckon they're going to probably have the same response as the North Koreans. So,
yeah, I don't think that you're dealing with a receptive public. But, you know, because I don't think that you're going to get some guy, getting a Bible from a drone, starts reading it and goes, hey, you know what? This religion has arcs and...
talking snakes, burning bushes. Yeah.
Hey, this is better, man.
Yeah.
This is a better story. I'm gonna go with them.
Now here's please play the clip because just to see I'm not just talking.
No,
shit.
All right, here it is. This is the evangelical nut job of the week on Randy's Rant. Here it is.
An evangelical church in Sweden is looking to convert Muslims in the Middle East to Christianity, and it's planning to use military drones to do so. The Livets Ord Church, whose name translates to Word of Life, announced this week it's going to use the drones to release thousands of small electronic Bibles into closed areas in the Middle East. The church's mission director told local news station SVT the Bibles are the size of pillboxes and don't require any electricity to work, and they'll reportedly be dropped from a high altitude by a contractor hired by the church. Since the announcement, Leavitt's Ord's project has faced criticism from several media outlets for attempting an attack of sorts on ISIS. But the church's senior pastor said in a blog post, "This is not a political statement, nor a spiritual counterattack on terrorism. What we want is to make the message of God's love available to people who need it more than most." It's unclear if the church or its contractor would need security clearance to carry out the Bible drops. Leavitt's Ord says it hopes to begin the mission in the next few weeks. For Newsy, I'm Katie Link.
You know something, I've been thinking about it while I've been listening to it, and I got to say, if you're going to have religious extremists, get the ones that drop books, not bombs. So, and I have no love for ISIS, well, by the way.
These are just pill boxes that have a little screen. They're like Tamagotchis, I think. Tamagotchi Bibles.
Tamagotchi Bibles.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nearest thing I can equate them to. Yeah. If you remember what a Tamagotchi was,
yeah,
it says the size of a pillbox with a little screen, and it doesn't require electricity. So, wow. Yeah, there you go.
I remember there was a story not too long ago, I think it was about 10, 12 months ago, of a peace activist folk singer who was trying to get book a gig where ISIS was, because he was convinced if they could just hear his music, they would see that love will conquer all. I'm sitting there going, man, cut it out. Get off the bong.
You're going to lose your head.
Yeah. Usually you'll probably get a bad review from Rolling Stone now. And ISIS hands, the stoning will be not just the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, you'll be stoned to death.
Can you imagine two ISIS guys going, let me tell you something, this music is shit. Yeah. No wonder we hate the West.
Everyone's a critic. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I like to play Blowing in the Wind. Yes. Is this on? Wow, tough for him. First of all, a few jokes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just flew in from British Village. Boy, my arms are tired.
Yeah, I'm here all week. Try the goat. If you can catch it.
You know, there was this sketch that I wrote once. I wrote it and no one would do it. And it was like, it was when I was doing stand up and I wrote this sketch and I can't remember all of it, but the idea of it appealed to me because it was really gross. At Nuremberg, who opened for Hitler? You know, it's like, that is going to be the worst stand-up job in the world. They're like, hey, everybody, how you going?
Who opened for Goering? Hands up,
yeah. Everybody who's from Munich. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot. You guys always have your hands up. All right, there, great. Look, the Fuhrer will be out here in just a moment. But first of all, any Jewish people here? Just kidding. Boy, what a room. For some reason, they wouldn't do it. Because it would the way I did it in the meeting was Woody Allen.
Yeah.
I was like, it's like, I'd like to, you know, thank you all for being here. And, you know, you're all so well-dressed and fantastic. And the armbands, they say it all, doesn't they? Anyway.
Are you sure those swastikas are pointing in the right direction? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's a totally tasteless joke, but it, as a stand-up comic, we were talking about tough rooms that we'd have to have. I think that ISIS would definitely be a tough room right here. So, anyway, listen, shall we go for a break and then go to Tinfoil Hats?
Oh, let's!
All right, okay, we'll be back in a moment. One more break for show 154, and we'll be back with Tinfoil Hats in just one moment.
At this hour, I'm Kate Baldwin. I've got the brain for MSNBC, but the hair for Fox News, so here I am at CNN. Well, it's been another bad week for Donald Trump with women. Joining me to talk about it from the Tea Party News Network is Donald Trump defender Scotty Nell Hughes.
Hi, Kate. As a woman, I like Donald Trump, but as a full-blown nut job, I freaking love him.
Okay, but as a woman, how can you keep defending Mr. Trump? He retweeted a sexist, unflattering photo of Ted Cruz's wife.
So that was an accident, okay, because Donald's hands are just so big, he can't see every little tweet his fingers retweet. I mean, you know, his hands are this big, flaccid.
That's your actual answer?
That is what I have picked, yes. And let's not forget, Heidi Cruz is no angel. She has been arrested.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. Donald told me she is so fat, she was arrested for having 10 pounds of crack.
I believe that's a yo mama joke. All right, let's just move on. Donald Trump also said that women who get abortions should be, quote, punished. How do you defend that?
Okay, so what that is was Donald was just making an April Fool's joke because it was April Fool's.
Said that on March 30th.
And that is why it is so funny. I mean, Kate, of course Donald loves women. He is a father to a woman.
Okay, well, we actually have a clip of Donald talking about his daughter from a rally this morning. Let's watch.
I just gotta say, isn't my daughter Ivanka the best? She's so smart, so talented, and what a rack. And she just had a baby, so can you imagine that rack now? It is just tremendous.
No, okay, so that was beautiful. You're just trying to work it, but is it worth it? You put his thing down, flipped it, and reversed it. You're flimmin' nip a plan, yeah, come on.
What?
At least Donald is talking about women. I mean, he is creating a dialogue about women.
Yeah. Let's go back to that rally and check in on that dialogue.
When I say women, you say suck. Women! Suck! Women!
Suck! Okay, well, Kate, some women do suck, okay? What about Casey Anthony? Are you telling me Casey Anthony does not suck? Because I am close friends with her, and she's always late. She sucks.
Okay, well, Scotty, I don't know how you're going to be able to defend this next thing.
I'll be able to.
But there has been a lot of violence at Trump's rallies recently. His campaign manager was arrested for assaulting a woman. A young girl was pepper sprayed.
Donald Trump does not personally condone violence.
Right. Okay, well, let's just randomly see what's happening right now at his rally.
I'm voting for you!
Okay, Kate, clearly that man had a bee on his face, and Donald was just trying to punch it off for him 10 times.
Really, Scotty, a bee? Now we're talking about a bee.
Yeah, we sure are. You can't break me, Kate, because I'm crazy, and crazy don't break. And Kate, I know that you agree with me on 3 things when it comes to Trump. 1, he is drop-dead gorgeous.
No.
2, he is bringing trade back so we can make American grapes again.
That's
and 3, he is way better than Ted Cruz.
Okay, yes, that I do agree on.
And live from New York, it's Saturday Night.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight.
Well, let me put my tinfoil hat on here. This one's a doozy. My tinfoil hat this month goes to the entire state of Texas. Yes, I was reading today, just happened today, that Texas awarded $1.6 million to a woman who was afraid she would get HIV from fetuses flushed down the toilet. Now, just adjust your okay. Her name, and she's been in the media a lot, this lady. Her name was Carol Everett. Now, Carol Everett was, in actual fact, ran a group of termination clinics, abortion clinics. And then I guess she saw the light or saw something because she went totally anti-abortion. And now she's founded and she's the CEO of a group called the Heidi Group that supposedly gives women health advice. But she's not a provider. She's not in any way performing healthcare services. But she did testify at a hearing in Austin that requires women to either bury or cremate the remains of an aborted fetus. Now, she testified. Now, this is like Indiana's doing this. They're all doing this as a form of backdooring abortion by, you know, saying you're going to have to have a ultrasound and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So now, basically, she's argued that the general public could be afflicted with sexually transmitted diseases or even AIDS due to fetuses flooding the sewer system.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's not even viable.
Of course it's not viable, and of course it's not true. But the Texas State Legislature awarded her group, who actually does nothing for health, a $1.65 million taxpayer-funded healthcare services package. Even though they don't... So, helping Texas women, all you have to do is say something really stupid, and Texas will give you money.
That is insane.
No, I looked high and low. It's only just come off the wire on the 15th.
Jesus, that's insane. Where is it from? Where did you get it?
It was from the Texas... it was published in the paper called the Austin Chronicle.
The Austin Chronicle, no shit.
No shit. Anyway, so, yeah, but I actually got the most of the material off Raw Story because, like I say, it's only just happened. But the words, the actual text came from the Austin Chronicle. You know, her goal is to reach that little girl in the small country town with no hope of having anybody explain her birth control options and have her blood pressure checked. You know, we want to help this little girl have to go through a pregnancy, and we're not going to take care of the baby after it's born, but we just don't want it to terminate.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing about the abortion thing, is that they love you as long as you're a fetus. For my tinfoil hat, I have the amazing Rudy Giuliani, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Rudy, is he okay now? Is his prostate cancer in remission? I used to have a bit of respect for Rudy Giuliani. Until 9/11, and then he went a bit crazy.
Yeah, he went a bit crazy, that's true, but evidently he's just kind of forgotten all about it because he was Trump. He was doing something for, he was doing something for Trump the other day, and it's just amazing because he basically has to make up an excuse every time Trump says some shit. You know, very hard to do. Yeah. And so he's there, and he made a mistake that is so massive that shows that basically he's on the edge of losing his shit. Just losing his shit, you know?
Yeah.
So Rudy was on stage and trying to explain away the dumpster fire that was happening behind him with Donald Trump. And I think he made an error. I want everyone to listen to Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump's favorite guy to clean up the shit behind the circus. Here,
yeah,
he is. So here is Rudy Giuliani, or as we like to call him, Nosferatu, the shit salesman. Here he is, Rudy.
Mike Pence understands this from his time both on the Foreign Affairs Committee, from his very, very timely visit, which I remember, to Ground Zero, when we were in desperate need of help. He was there. And from his work on Judiciary Committee and helping to fashion the Patriot Act. By the way, under those 8 years, before Obama came along, we didn't have any successful radical Islamic terrorist attack in the United States. They all started when Clinton and Obama got into office.
Yeah, they all started when Clinton and Obama were in office. Yeah, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Where was that place I was at? I don't know. Oh, that's right. 9/11.
Yeah. You know, 9 months after young George W. Bush was sworn in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a Star Trek, in the second Star Trek movie where Chekhov sits there and goes, they put creatures on our ears. I happen to think that that's happened to the Republican Party in reference to George W. Bush.
Oh, not the, yeah,
literally, creatures have crawled into their ears, affecting their memory, and they cannot remember anything about George W. Bush. Nothing!
Yeah, that's right. Nothing, and like same with his father. You know, his father brought in something that was later blamed on Clinton. You know, but it was actually him.
I know, and these guys don't. For example, when Trump calls Obama the founder of ISIS, ISIS was caused by George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Yeah. Yeah. And Paul Wolfowitz and that entire group that went in there and destabilized that regime.
And Ronald Reagan was the one that started training Osama bin Laden and giving him money and giving him arms because he was going to stick it to the Russians.
Absolutely.
Who had invaded Afghanistan. That was Ronald Reagan.
And Reagan, by the way, Carter did it too. Zbigniew Brzezinski did that as well. But that's not to say, look, Obama's made errors in his foreign policy, too. But if you're trying to stick ISIS with Obama, hey, man, this guy had to come in and clean up your financial mess where you almost drove the entire country into a depression. The entire world into a depression. And also clean up the two wars that you put on a credit card, creating instability that spawned ISIS in the first place. Amazing.
There was not a credit card. They just gave the money directly to Dick Cheney and Haley Burton. They didn't.
Well, Dick is still around.
Put it straight into his account. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing Dick is still around. I know people. Yeah. I know so many people that are decent people, and I know so many people that are decent people.
I got numbers. I know people.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is that there are so many decent people that whose lives are endangered every day, and these fuckers still get around. They walk the earth. They just walk the earth. Dick Cheney, Donald Trump, George W. Bush.
And drag their knuckles.
Henry Kissinger, who is one of the biggest war criminals. By the way, best friend, Hillary Clinton. And by the way, let me tell you something. I haven't forgot the fact that I'm not a great fan of Hillary Clinton. But next to Trump, Hillary is incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, she's Mother Teresa. She's everything. Yeah.
But listen, I wanted to actually add one thing just before we said goodbye. A lot of people that I talk to are still very, very cynical, and they don't think that anything will happen under Hillary Clinton. I reach for hope wherever I can get it. I dug this up. This is Hillary Clinton at 20 years old, before she got into politics. It is her commencement address that she gave at Wellesley College as a young girl.
All right.
And I'd like you to have a little listen to this, because you will not find a more articulate, smart individual at 20. I mean, she's better just getting out of her teens than Trump is now, of course. Listen to this. This is Hillary Clinton when she graduated Wellesley College. Listen to it.
Class of 69 has expressed a desire to have one of their own group speak to them and for them at this morning's commencement. There was no debate, so far as I could ascertain, as to who their spokesman was to be. Miss Hillary Rodham, a member of this graduating class, she is a major in political science and a candidate for the degree with honors. She is also cheerful, good-humored, good company, and a good friend to all of us. And it is a great pleasure to present to this audience Ms. Hillary Rodham.
I'm very glad that Ms. Adams made it clear that what I'm speaking for today is all of us, the 400 of us. And I find myself in a familiar position, that of reacting, something that our generation has been doing for quite a while now. We're not in the positions yet of leadership and power, but we do have that indispensable element of criticizing and constructive protest. Part of the problem with just empathy with professed goals is that empathy doesn't do us anything. We've had lots of empathy, we've had lots of sympathy, but we feel that for too long, our leaders have viewed politics as the art of the possible. And the challenge now is to practice politics as the art of making what appears to be impossible possible. The question about possible and impossible was one that we brought with us to Wellesley 4 years ago. We arrived not yet knowing what was not possible. Consequently, we expected a lot. Our attitudes are easily understood, having grown up, having come to consciousness in the first 5 years of this decade, years dominated by men with dreams, men in the civil rights movement, the Peace Corps, the space program. So we arrived at Wellesley, and we found, as all of us have found, that there was a gap between expectation and realities. But it wasn't a discouraging gap, and it didn't turn us, you know, into cynical, bitter old women at the age of 18. It just inspired us to do something about that gap. What we did is often difficult for some people to understand. They ask us quite often, why, if you're dissatisfied, do you stay in a place? Well, if you didn't care a lot about it, you wouldn't stay. It's almost as though my mother used to say, you know, I'll always love you, but there are times when I certainly won't like you. Our love for this place, this particular place, Wellesley College, coupled with our freedom from the burden of an inauthentic reality, allowed us to question basic assumptions underlying our education. But we also know that to be educated, the goal of it must be human liberation, a liberation enabling each of us to fulfill our capacity so as to be free to create within and around ourselves. The struggle for an integrated life existing in an atmosphere of communal trust and respect is one with desperately important political and social consequences. And the word consequences, of course, catapults us into the future. One of the most tragic things that happened yesterday, a beautiful day, was that I was talking to a woman who said she wouldn't want to be me for anything in the world. She wouldn't want to live today and look ahead to what it is she sees because she's afraid. Fear is always with us, but we just don't have time for it. Not now.
That was her right after her 20th birthday.
Yeah. 1969.
I like that Hillary
yeah.
Clinton a lot. I like that Hillary Clinton yeah. a lot. And that kid at 20 has more smarts, insight, and passion about really, you know, good things than practically, if she gives that speech that way, I'd fall in love
with
her.
Well, you know, it's like when Bill Clinton, when he was elected, he says, you know, you're going to get two presidents for the price of one because my yeah. wife's smarter than I am, or something to that effect. And, you know, the conservatives all went batshit crazy. You know, you know, your wife can have no influence whatsoever yeah. on you as a president, which is a crying shame because... She she still did a lot of stuff with them trying to get health and stuff in during the first term.
Yeah, yeah. And I haven't forgotten the campaign, and I haven't forgotten a lot of what I've learned about Hillary in office. But if that person's still there, that's a good thing.
Well, it is.
And I'll tell you something. At the time in which Trump was that age, he was just going into military school where he was accused of being a bully.
Yeah.
At around 20.
Yeah. And
you know, evidently he was an absolute class bully. But, that's who Hillary Clinton was. Yeah. And that's pretty classy. That's incredible.
Here's something else I read this week. You know, we were talking in the last show about how Michelle Obama will not be able to run until she gets a bit of political experience. Apparently, she's thinking of running for the Senate.
Really?
Why are you laughing? That's the same path.
That's the Clinton playbook.
Yeah, the Clinton playbook. It really is run for the Senate. So I don't think it'll be in this election.
I wouldn't put anything past her. And I'll tell you, there are people in the Senate with a 3/1,000,000th of what she has in brain power. I mean, she is classy. She's smart. She's a lawyer. She's intelligent. Yeah. And she's got the political connections now. Like, crazy. And
so maybe
Barack
will be the first gentleman in 2020 or something.
Hey, man, I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of all Barack's policies.
No.
The corporatization, all those things I said when Sanders was around is absolutely true. And you know something? If Sanders was up again, I still wouldn't vote for an Obama or a Clinton.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I still stand by the fact that Barack Obama he's carried it off with incredible class. If you compare him to the Republicans, it's just disgusting. If you compare him to a recent president, he did amazingly good things for this country. The net result of his presidency has been a plus for this country.
Absolutely.
A huge plus.
And I think a lot of people who dumped on him have stopped dumping on him because they just look so foolish.
Well, no, his approval rating is 54-55%.
Yeah.
I mean, no president at the end of their term gets that kind of thing. Reagan didn't get it. Reagan was down in the 20s or the 30s. You know, he was like limping. People forget that Reagan was limping after the Iran-Contra scandal.
Well, George H.W. Bush was practically the president for the last 18 months because Reagan had lost his marbles.
Well, no, he didn't lose him. He just had a habit of nodding off at cabinet meetings.
Yeah,
you know.
But even Nancy admitted that his Alzheimer's had already started to appear. So anyway.
Anyway, listen. It has been a crazy week.
And a crazy show.
It's been a crazy show and a dark show when we started off. Listen, have a listen to that. Take that into consideration. If you want to reach us, we're at the Bill Show on XPR at expertprogressive.podbean.com. TheBillShow.net. That's right, TheBillShow.net. Everything Bill Show in one place. You over at TheBillShow.net. You can also reach us through Stitcher Radio and Player FM are some of the places that have us, as well as the immortal and fantastic iTunes and Podbean.
That's right.
We want to say hello again to Val.
Hello, Val. And Patsy in Indiana.
Patsy in Indiana, and I want to say hello to AK and Dave in Massachusetts. Dave, you know, over at the You Do It Electronics in Needham, Mass.
Oh, Needham, Mass. Yeah, what a lovely place.
If he listens to this show, I know he's listened to a few, and I want a big shout out to you, Dave, man. Works on the loading dock, my dear friend since I was in fifth grade, and a very lovely human.
Yeah.
Those are our call outs today.
Here's a bit of news. Just quick before we sing our song. I'm going to America and I'm going to be there for the election.
Whoa.
I'm going to do a show from the United States for the election.
Yeah, and I'm going to be doing a play.
That's right. You are too. And I'm going to miss it.
Which we'll tell you about next episode.
Yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when.
They'll meet again. Yeah. See you later, guys.
Bye bye bye.
Fantastic. Yeah. We'll see you. Bye bye.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.